Our first scripture reading can be found on page 952 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Our next reading is found on page 1780, and that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Concerning food sacrificed to idols. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god, and since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you with all your knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Debbie. So our message scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. It's on page 1552 in your pew Bibles. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue, and he began to preach. he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. But just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Well, be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." For the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." Well, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. So we pray. Father, we do thank you that we can study your word, that you are here to guide us and to lead us into where we need to be. Help us this morning in all things, we do pray through your Son. Amen. If you first look at all of these scriptures that we just read, you wouldn't think there was any real link between them. But the real link was the authority given. And who here wants to be in charge? Nobody? I know I don't. Who here has any authority? I'm in the right place. When I worked on my sermon this week, I kept running into little stories, one right after another, one right after another. It just got really hard to choose which ones I wanted to use. So I picked some that were personal. I picked some that weren't. And I wanted to start off with one I found. And it was about a teacher. And he was a high school teacher, and he'd injured his back. And so the first day, school was coming, and he had to wear this full body cast. But when you put a shirt on, you couldn't really tell. When he looked at the roster of the kids he got, he said, "Great, I got a bunch of idiots in there, you're rowdy, and I know we're going to have an awful time with them." So he's trying to decide how he's going to handle these kids. So he comes into his classroom. He gets in his classroom to begin with, and the kids are rowdy, they're not paying any attention to him. If he looks at them, they're just daring him to say something. So he walks in, he walks right across the classroom, and I can almost imagine this. When I went to Montrose High School, they had that courtyard in the middle there. You used to open the windows there. Oh, can you imagine a teacher coming in? He comes in, he slings this window open, and there's a breeze blowing in, and he goes and sits at his desk, doesn't say a word. And the kids are still being rowdy and talking and not paying attention to anything, and his tie keeps blowing up and hitting him in the face. Finally, about the third time the tie come up and hit him in the face, he grabs that tie, pulls it down, grabs a stapler off the desk, and staples that thing right to his chest. Well, don't you think he got the kids' attention? He had some authority then. There's all kinds of authorities. And the more I thought about them, I thought, what's the kind of authority that Jesus had? What lessons can we learn from it? So when I got really wanted to talk about was amazing authority. Just think of that amazing authority that Jesus had. Where does it come from? How do we receive it? What are the different kinds of authority that we might be able to have that we're familiar with? So I want you to just think about parental authority for a minute. So how did you know your parents were in charge or you were in trouble? Well, I always knew because if something happened, I could hear my mother up the block. It didn't matter. I could be halfway up the dirt road. I'd hear, "Joseph Samuel!" She liked using your two names. And if that was capitalized and it was full names, you knew who was in charge. And you were in deep trouble. And then there was other times. Because if you didn't know, I had five brothers. And we all went to church, and we usually all sat in the same pew. My mom and dad be sitting there, and you knew who was in charge if you got the eye. You were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing, and you were going to pay for it later. They had the authority to do that as parents. So that was the first kind of authority I knew about. Probably the second was when I was 17 years old, I had joined the United States Navy. Well, they sent me to San Diego, California. I got off this plane, and all of a sudden, this man comes up, and he's in a uniform, and he's a little short guy, and he is just doing nothing but yelling at me, telling me where I should go, what I should do, where I should sit. They stick me on this bus. They take me to what they call boot camp authority. We get in boot camp, and all kinds of people are yelling at. They're telling you when you can go to the bathroom. They thought they were God. And if you were in trouble, or if they were speaking to you, if they weren't God, they had him on the phone, and he had God on hold while he was talking to you. They definitely had authority. When we think about that authority, then we think about there's some gentler kind of authority that we see now and then. I was talking with another one of my colleagues, and I was telling him about what I was going to talk about today. And he says, well, you have to mention Mrs. Davis. I said, who's that? He said, well, Mrs. Davis. He says, when I went to serve at that church, and I remember sitting in a pew, Mrs. Davis, she was about 103 years old, and she was as deaf as a stump. I mean, you could talk all day, she didn't hear a word, unless you were screaming. But the kids all loved her because she liked to hand out candy and everything else. And so she's sitting there one day, and I just imagine one little girl that we've not seen here lately saying this to Mrs. Davis. One of the girls come up and say, little girl looked right at her and says, Mrs. Davis, if you can't hear, why do you come here? And she looks back. She gives the little girl a big smile, pats her on the hand, says, honey, I come here to show them whose side I'm on. Because she had that kind of authority to know that she was on God's side. That's another kind of authority we see. Gentle authority. And Jesus had that same gentle authority. He had that boot camp authority. He had that parental authority. But what other kind of authority really is there? See, Jesus, he didn't get along with the Pharisees so well. They probably hated that he came in to teach, because he was usurping their authority. And he definitely wasn't on a social register. You know what I mean by a social register? He wasn't high on the list of people they'd want to call on. And in that social register, the more I got thinking about it, and the more about people who we often look for, I found a list of another register on the internet. It was a Who's Nobody in America register. I thought, well, that's interesting. How do you qualify to get on that? Well, I come to find out some of the people had submitted, so they qualified. He says, so you know you're on this list if your twin sister dies and they bury you instead. Or your own reflection in the mirror ignores you. Pretty much tell you you're on the nobody list. Or if somebody's taking your picture next to a tree, and all they admire is the tree, you know you're on the nobody list. So one applicant, he claimed that the government returned his taxes unopened. And another claimed that his mail was addressed to occupant, and the post office had returned it with a legend, "No longer at this address." They were on the nobody list. They weren't on the social register. And Jesus wasn't either. So, we think about the authority that Jesus really had here. What did that authority look like? How did we know that it was amazing that he had the power to even drive out an impure spirit? How did the Spirit know? How do we know this amazing authority of Christ, this God that we worship today? What's he tell to us? How does he speak to us? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We talked about the Spirit and how he speaks to each and every one of us. And it's always in a different way. And it's always a message that sometimes we get a little confused with. I watched a movie this week. How many of you ever watched The Secondhand Lions? Oh, you're missing a good movie. I think I've seen it 5 times. Well, I had to review it again this week. So what Secondhand Lions is about, it's about, I don't know, the boy's probably 10 or 12, maybe. His mom drops him off at his two old uncles, Uncle Walter and Uncle Hub. Well, they're sitting on the front porch with their shotguns, and any time a salesman comes near, they just shooting and scaring them off, and they're having a good old time. But old Walter, now, he's a little timid and shy, and he's kind of sitting on the porch, and it's not looking good. But anyway, later on in the movie, his Uncle Walter, he gets telling the stories about when they were in the Foreign Legion and how they'd been forced into fighting with the four legionnaires, and talked about their battles and about their love, and especially the love of Uncle Hub. Walter was telling about Uncle Hub's love of Jasmine. But they never get the end of the story. They never get the rest of the story. So I wanted to read to you a conversation that they had. So in this, Walter, he looks at his uncle and he says, "So those stories about Africa and about you, they're true, aren't they?" And Hub tells him, "Boy, doesn't matter." But Walter's, he's not buying it. And Walter argues, "It does too. Around my mom, all I hear is lies. And I don't know what to believe." And Hub tells him, "If you want to believe in something, believe in it. Just because something isn't true, ain't true, doesn't mean you can't believe in it." And then Hub tells Walter that he gives to young men what he thinks Walter needs to hear as a speech. He says, "Sometimes things may not be true, and things that a man needs to believe in most. And those are that people are basically good, that honor, courage, and virtue mean everything. Power and money and power, they mean nothing. That good always triumphs over evil." And Hub's most important advice is that love, true love, never dies. He says, "Remember that, boy. Doesn't matter if they're true or not. You see, a man should believe in those things because those are the things worth believing in." You've got that? And as I thought about that, I got thinking, what do we believe? What do we believe about God? What can we prove? If you were on our Sunday school class this morning, it's pretty darn hard to prove that God exists, that the Spirit is with us. But what matters is whether or not we believe it. Because Christ has amazing authority to work in our lives. Even though we don't see him, even though the world around us doesn't see him, when we believe it, we know it. We know it to be true. We know that Jesus has authority over illness and over every disease, over every action we have in our lives. He is in control, and he has that authority. And we know that through the Spirit that we can talk to him, that we can have confidence in knowing that through his amazing authority, he can heal whatever we need. He can heal this country. He can heal this congregation. He heals us individually. He takes care of everything in our world. It's through his amazing authority. So I only have one question for you this morning. Does Jesus have that authority in your life? Do you believe it? Because that's what really counts. Like Hope told him, the main thing in life to believe in is in love, is in courage, is that we have hope. And all this comes through the authority of Jesus Christ, because he has an amazing authority in our lives. Always did, always will, and will forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that we can be confident that you have this amazing authority over everything. Not only just our lives, but the lives of all who have ever been created. Over this whole world, this globe, our solar system, we know that your authority is just over all of it. And Father, we are confident because we believe in you, because we believe in your authority, that we can be confident one day we'll be with you. So guide each and every one of us here today. Keep us safe. And I pray that you touch each and every life. For we do ask all these things in Jesus' name.